Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 1 of A New Voice of Freedom. The podcasts are taken from the four volumes, In Defense of Christianity, written by Ronald Keith Messer. Podcast 9 is entitled, Atheism and Law.
Atheism appears to be increasing in the United States and Europe. Each person has his or her own story and cannot be classified. The beauty of freedom is that each may choose his own form of belief. There are two general classes that some atheists, however few, appear to fall under.
Class 1 applies to those whom religion has suddenly become inconvenient because it stands in the way of carnal desires.
It is extremely easy to return to the natural man. I don't think that science is the cause of atheism. I think that science is merely the excuse for atheism. Science comes as a prepackaged argument for nihilism. One feels free because he no longer must answer to God or conscience. One feels liberated and finds joy in the newfound freedom.
Class 2 is more complicated and more difficult to explain. It has to do with idol worship. One must ask why the primary laws of the Ten Commandments condemn idol worship.
One would never associate Christians with idol worship. Idol worship is what the ancient Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Grecians, and the Romans did. Christianity condemned idol worship. But in point of fact, idol worship has little to do with stone images. Idol worship is any substitute for God, whether it is made of silver or gold or stone, whether it comes in the shape of mansions, sports, cars, boats, pleasure, power, position, or purse. The moment we begin to form God in our own image, we turn to idol worship. The moment we turn our backs on absolute truth, absolute virtues and absolute values, and begin to rationalize away the Ten Commandments to fit our own ideology, we turn to idol worship. That is what shaping God in our own image means. It is said that Egypt had over 2,000 idols, India over 300. Christians have a billion, for each has a tendency to create his own God. The difference between the heathen idols and the Christian idols is that the heathen nations give different names to their idols. The Christians keep the same name for all idols. Regardless of the idol they worship, they call him Christ or God. The point being that many atheists who turn their backs on Christianity didn't worship God to begin with. They worshiped a pet they had carried around since childhood, like Christopher Robin carried Winnie the Pooh. Unable to face the truth, many turned to science as their new God, for it had a built-in rationale. They confused true science with theoretical science. They confused scientists with atheists who preached atheism in the white coats of pedants who posed as scientists. The truth is that when science deals with law, it is at its sterling best. It borders on the miraculous. However, when science moves into theories, it becomes sometimes irrational and ridiculously illogical. We must separate hypothesis from theory. A hypothesis is necessary to science. The purpose of science is to prove a hypothesis to be either true or false by applying the scientific method. When truth is the objective, then science shines. Theories, however, that cannot be reduced to the scientific method are just that, theories. The opinion of a Nobel laureate with a horse cart of degrees, awards, recognitions, accomplishments, positions, accolades, discoveries, etc., is of no more worth than the opinion of the most uneducated and illiterate on the subject of the existence of God. One of the greatest logical fallacies is appeal to authority, the authority of science. Appeal to majority is probably the second greatest logical fallacy. Truth is its own witness and does not depend upon the opinions of man, no matter how large the number or what degrees they hold. Bertrand Russell, one of the great minds of the 20th century, got it wrong when he said that man is an accidental collocation of atoms. He voiced the opinion of scientific theories, but nothing supports the opinion but other opinions. There are no facts. Science got it wrong when they said we live in an accidental universe. Nothing supports that theory except opinion. The evidence supports intelligent design. Whereas the science of evolution is overwhelmingly convincing, the theories of man based on evolution are often illogical and improbable. Evolution is based on entropy, therefore evolution cannot be the author of creation. Science has done a peculiar thing, committing the third greatest logical fallacy of science, false analogy. They know, for example, that evolution can only occur in a biological world based on life and death. That means that evolution is confined to mortality and has short duration. Yet they tend to use the word evolution as it relates to all creation. They must continue the myth or else admit to intelligent design. Evolution is simply ingenious at the adaptation of species, guaranteeing their survival in a changing environment. They appear to ignore the fact that evolution is governed by strict laws, and evolution cannot exceed the boundaries of those laws, or it would destroy life rather than preserve life. Nature kills things that don't fit. Committing the fourth greatest logical fallacy of science, hasty generalization, science attributes everything to evolution and ignores law. Evolution is subject to law. Evolution does not create law. Evolution is just one part of the process of life. I believe in evolution, but I do not believe in all the wild theories of man attributed to evolution. They exceed the boundaries of law. The first law of science should be, all creation is governed by a complete set of laws, and nothing can exceed the boundaries established by law. Committing the fallacy of false analogy, science uses the term evolution to refer to the creation of planets, stars, and galaxies following the Big Bang. More specifically, they claim that gravity caused the evolution of the universe as we know it. Certainly, gravity did play a major role, but evolution is the wrong word, as if it were some organic thing, bumbling along through trial and error. Better words would be creation or organization following strict laws, not chance, accident, luck, coincidence, or serendipity of circumstances. Accidental universe defies all the laws of probability, making even the lottery appear plausible. In this podcast, I will argue that law and intelligent design are the only explanation for the cosmos as we know it. Any other explanation leads to logical fallacies and improbable explanations. The problem is that if science admitted to intelligent design, they must admit to the existence of God, and they simply can't do that, even if it means accepting the wildest improbabilities. Every time they give credit to chance, luck, accidents, or coincidence, they introduce a new set of improbabilities. It is like winning the lottery, where the odds are a trillion to one, a trillion times in a row. Above, I have identified four of the common logical fallacies of science.
1. Appeal to authority. 2. Appeal to majority. 3. False analogy. 4. Hasty generalization.
In another podcast entitled, Where Do Laws Come From?, I listed five fundamental principles or assumptions of law or of creation.
1. Certain things must self-exist, having neither beginning nor end, requiring no explanation. For example, some are intelligence, life or consciousness, matter, energy, and potential. 2. Something cannot come from nothing. 3. Laws are organized into complete sets and are independent in the sphere in which they operate. 4. All laws, regardless of how varied they appear to be, peculiar to their own sphere, are governed by a single law or single set of laws, because laws cannot compete or fight among themselves. 5. Chaos is a natural state, and law is necessary to bring order out of chaos.
I would like to introduce 6 more assumptions that must be true in advancing the idea of intelligent design. I do not pretend the list is exhaustive, nor do I pretend that I can make an exhaustive list.
6. Truth must self-exist.
The question of what truth is fundamental to everything. Law and truth are equivalent. While I'm exploring, I must add another assumption.
7. Potential must self-exist.
I think I can explain this best by analogy. I collect odd things. My children feed my propensity by showering me with gifts on Christmas and birthdays that satisfy my eclectic taste. On the table in front of me are 5 things in my collection. A fossilized shark's tooth, which is 50 million years old. A fossilized clamshell, which is 250 million years old, the age of the dinosaurs. A buckeye, an acorn, and a hickory nut, all last year's crop. I bought the first 2 in a store that sells fossils. The last 3 I picked up on my meanderings through the forest. Is the shark's tooth true? Is the clamshell true? Is the buckeye true? Is the acorn true? Is the hickory nut true? The answer to all the above must be, What do you mean by truth? They exist, of course. They have three dimensions. I can see them and touch them and weigh them and measure them. However, they are elusive. They are subject, of course, to entropy. Can anything subject to entropy be called truth? Unless the nuts are fossilized like the shark's tooth and clamshell, their existence will be short-lived, unless they are planted or kept in a very dry place. However, unlike the shark's tooth and the clamshell, the seeds are alive. If planted, each can become a tree and produce more seeds and continue the process until the end of time. The acorn will produce an oak tree, the buckeye will produce a buckeye tree, and the hickory nut will produce a hickory nut tree. No one but a hardcore evolutionist would argue against that. The fossils represent extinction. I suppose one could argue that the shark's tooth and the clamshell are not really a shark's tooth and a clamshell, but silicate that replaced the original shark's tooth and clamshell, assuming that is how all fossils are made. The seeds are subject to entropy. Therefore, what you see as a seed today could be a tree tomorrow. The seed gives its life for the tree. Which one is true, the seed or the tree? To avoid a conundrum, let's agree that truth is not subject to entropy, that truth is eternal and everlasting. Truth has always existed in some form. All mortal seeds are governed by temporal laws. Temporal laws have strict boundaries. If I plant the acorn in proper soil, it will not produce a buckeye. It will produce an oak tree. As children, we call them acorn trees. If I plant the buckeye, it will not produce a hickory nut tree. It will produce a buckeye tree. If I plant the hickory nut, it will not produce an oak tree. It will produce a hickory nut tree. It can only do what the information contained in the seed said it can do. In a way, if the universe came from a singularity, then we can compare the singularity to a seed. Nothing can come from the singularity except that which is contained in the singularity. The question arises, can a seed be a law unto itself? The answer is no. It is subject to laws. In other words, laws preceded the seed, and the seed can never exceed the laws. It is an absolute condition ruled by law that leads to another assumption.
8. As stated in Assumption 2, something cannot come from nothing. The tree cannot exceed the information contained in the seed. The fruit of the tree may pass on the information, but it cannot add to it. This limits the boundaries of evolution. There can be no exceptions. If something occurs outside the information of the seed, then one must look elsewhere for the source.
That, of course, leads to still another assumption.
9. Laws have boundaries imposed upon them, and that which is governed by law cannot exceed those boundaries. That is how order is preserved, protected, and perfected.
Can you see where I'm going? Law precedes the seed. Intelligent design precedes the law. And God precedes intelligent design. Let's continue our assumptions.
10. All complete sets of laws act independently.
But the complexity of the cosmos suggests that there are many complete sets of laws. And that leads to assumption number 11.
11. Laws may act independently in their own sphere, but they cannot contradict other sets of laws. Therefore, all complete sets of laws must ultimately be governed by a single law or a single set of laws, otherwise there would be chaos. In scientific terms, it means that there really is a holy grail of physics.
For Christians, the answer is God, and there is nothing higher than God. He is the intelligent designer. He is the Almighty. He is the highest intelligence of all. That is what God is, omniscient and omnipotent. He is never changing. God is truth. And all truth proceeds from God.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.